Blog Talk Radio.
From the Block Talk Radio studio in the heart of Hudson County, ladies and gentlemen, you know it's always in Union City, New Jersey. Insider NJ proudly brings to you the three-time, and I do say again, the three-time award-winning Politically Direct. I am the professor and, of course, New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe here, and certainly I want to welcome you all on this, the 22nd of April. Yes, we're still going strong in 2021, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you all enjoying a wonderful spring. It's kind of weird. It doesn't feel like spring today. It was like spring on Monday, and it's like freezing winter again today. So, but regardless, folks, I hope you're all doing well, staying healthy. For anyone that's getting vaccinated, hopefully that's going well, no adverse reactions. And certainly we want to thank you all for tuning in for moreover and however you may be doing so. Again, throughout the Garden State and to all my good friends in the 50 states as well. Folks, you can write to the show's inbox at any time. It's politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Once again, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic, I'd love to hear from you. Write to the show. Trust me, I'll answer your email promptly. And also don't forget to follow the show on Instagram, ladies and gentlemen, @politicallydirectnj. Haven't updated the page as often as I usually do. I've just been kind of focused on my personal page and a couple of other pages for my other media shows. But trust me, folks, I'll be updating that shortly. But again, you'll see all the episodes there being featured on the Instagram page. Of course, check out my own Instagram @ProfessorFernandoUribe. I know many of you enjoy my Instagram stories. I know many of you enjoy my memes, whether it's about pro wrestling, politics, sports, whatever. I don't know. Anything that's funny, I like to post. So definitely check it out there. And I appreciate all the likes again and followers on Instagram. And also hit me up on Twitter if you love that platform. Also, again, @NoFilterUribe. That's @NoFilterURIBE. And certainly, tons of new followers, plenty of likes on the posts. And for those of you that enjoy my politics, and I think you all know how I am, I don't apologize for being conservative, but I'm pretty reasonable. I'm not some crazy conservative. I'm actually pretty rational and logical, as you know. If you listen to this program regularly, and also my other media programs, you'll also discover that as well. So hit me up, folks, on Twitter, again, @NoFilter. URIBE @NoFilterUribe. And for all you Facebook subscribers, take a moment and like the page on Facebook, Politically Direct with Fernando Uribe. It's good to be back on Facebook. I did just come back last night from a 30-day suspension. We all know what Facebook is like these days, folks. So it's disappointing to say the very least. You know, we were warned about this. We were warned about big tech, and we're living it now. So in any event, for all you Facebook subscribers, please go to the page and like it, of course. and tell your friends to do the same. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I do want you to call in toll-free tonight. Don't be shy and call into the show, 818-572-8032. I'll take some calls later in the show, and I look forward to hearing from my loyal listening audience. I know I always like to talk to the callers. We've got a great guest coming up in just a few moments. You don't want to go anywhere. Folks, again, our toll-free number, 818-572-8032, and it's brought to you by Insider NJ. Now, don't forget to check out Insider NJ, ladies and gentlemen, once again, by going to www.insidernj.com for the best coverage of the political scene anywhere in the state of New Jersey. I'm blessed to be working on the Insider NJ family, and certainly it starts at the top with the Graham family, who I have to thank for their support, especially Mike Graham, who continues to support this program, as well as my Insider GM, Peter Nelia. 3 years in counting, again, 3 awards later in counting, so I must be doing something right. So, again, I'm just thankful to them. And I'm part of a great team. We don't all like each other, and that happens. If you've ever played organized sports like I have, you know that sometimes you don't always like your teammates, but if you're sort of reaching the mutual goal, and that's the success of the operation, then that's what matters. Again, our great team consists of our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro, who I don't always like personally. I don't like a lot of his politics, and I know he doesn't like me either. That's okay, but he's a very talented journalist. You definitely want to check out his columns on the website, as well as Jay Lasseter, another guy who does not like me. I don't like him whatsoever, but again, he's talented, and he's a good journalist. He's a good writer. You'll definitely enjoy his columns, as well as Fred Snowflake, great guy. Love having him on this program. As well as Alan Steinberg, who's a regular here on the show. Alan drives me crazy a lot with some of his leftist views on his columns, but we have great conversations, and that's what it's all about right now in this very divisive, polarizing political climate. So I work with a great team. I'm proud to be a part of the Insider NJ team, and folks, again, check out the best journalism in the state of New Jersey. It's always with Insider NJ at www.insidernj.com, and also you can check out recent editions of Politically Direct at the website, www.insidernj.com/podcast. That's plural podcast. And you can check out all the recent episodes there from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. As a reminder, folks, the opinions and views expressed here tonight and every week on Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, the journalists, or the staff. Well, folks, again, hope you had a wonderful week. April's just about to come to a close. I'm excited because, I am a Taurus, and May is my birthday month, so I'm excited coming up on May 17th. So hopefully the weather gets warmer and it stays that way. But you know what? Politics never takes a break here on this show, folks. And one thing I love to do on this program and take pride in is bring you the exclusives that nobody else does in New Jersey media. And, again, it's an election year. We have a gubernatorial race. All 120 legislative seats are up for grabs. Something I really welcome on this show is interviewing everyone who's running for office, as long as they're willing to talk to me, whether it's Republicans, Democrats, anyone else. I welcome them on the show. I love having a conversation, and I want to hear about their issues and what they want to represent. And folks, this week is no exception, because joining me now here tonight exclusively is New Jersey State Senate candidate in the 30th Legislative District. Folks, I want you to, again, if you're at home, clap as loud as you can for my guest tonight, and he's a guy who, is looking to maybe do some change in the New Jersey legislature. As we all know, in the 30th Legislative District, it has been a pretty red area of New Jersey for quite some time. He, along with his assembly running mates, are looking to change that, and obviously I'm sure he'll have a lot to say tonight. Folks, Daniel Stinger joins us here tonight on Blog Talk Radio. Mr. Stinger, what's going on? How are you, Bill?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm great. I appreciate you coming on here. And as you heard during, again, obviously your intro, I love talking to everybody. I love talking to candidates. I love talking to people that are running for office. I ran for state assembly 10 years ago, back in 2011. And I know how hard it is to run a grassroots campaign. So I always commend everybody, whether you're Republican or Democrat. If you want to take the plunge and do that, I certainly applaud that. And folks, again,
thank you.
At home, absolutely. No, I appreciate coming on. And folks, for everyone listening at home tonight, and maybe you're not familiar with the 40th Legislative District, it's one of obviously the 40 districts that make up the legislature here in the Garden State, folks. It does cover counties in Monmouth County, which include Avon-by-the-Sea, Belmar. I'm a big fan of Bar A, plenty of Rutgers alumni mixtures I've been to, so I
definitely enjoy Bar A. A lot of impaired nights there in Bar A. But we also have Bradley Beach and Brielle, as well as Farmingdale, Howell Township, ladies and gentlemen, along with Lake Como, Manasquan, Seeger, Spring Lake and Spring Lake Heights, as well as Wall Township. And also in Ocean County, ladies and gentlemen, we have the municipalities of Lakewood and Point Pleasant. Well, you know, Dan, I have to say, you know, I had a chance to interview one of your assembly running mates, Stephen Dobbins, not too long ago. A great combo. Dan.
Yeah, I listened to it. It was a good episode for sure.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I've listened to a couple of your episodes now, actually.
Well, thank you. Well, Dan, you're a gentleman. Thank you, and I appreciate that. And listen, we'll have a great one as well. So I think the first fundamental question we have to ask tonight is, you know, when someone's running for office, it seems that I think the logical answer is that they're not happy with the current representation. I mean, otherwise, why would you be running? So what makes you a good choice in the 30th Legislative District coming up on June 8th during the primary?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say thanks again for having me on. This is a great opportunity.
Sure.
And from listening to my running mate, Stephen Dobbins, I kind of share the same belief as him. I mean, the thing that we're unhappy with the most is not necessarily the poorest leadership in our district, but the absence of. I mean, I hadn't heard any of our assembly people or senators' names even until only a few years ago. And I grew up only less than a mile away from where Assemblyman Thompson lives. So that's a big problem for me. Just I kind of hold the belief that our legislators have equally as much responsibility to get in front of people in their community as we have to kind of learn about what's going on in our legislature. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't pay attention to local politics and all that stuff. But I think that some of that responsibility falls on our legislators and on our representatives. So as far as why I want to do this and why I think that I'm a good candidate is, I mean, I was raised in this district since I was very, very young. I grew up in Wall Township. I worked in this district forever. I'm a real estate agent, so I sell houses all over the district. And I've just been here forever, and I love this place. It's just my blood is just pumping with Monmouth County and Ocean County. I've lived in so many of the towns in our district, and I feel like I have a good understanding of a lot of the issues in our towns, and I think that somebody needs to stand up for our towns specifically. I know that on your show, you talk a lot about a lot of different state issues, and all those things are so important. But what I'm looking for, what I'm looking to do, is to really be a representative for my district, because I really believe that my running mates and I are of this district. So, you know, we have a really good understanding of all that stuff.
Well, Dan, let's get into policy. I'm a policy nerd. It's something I take pride in on this program, because obviously not only being a journalist, but during the day, I am an academic, and one of my degrees is in public policy from Rutgers, you know, the graduate school in Newark. So I just talk policy all day, and it's really, I think, at the crux of why I like doing shows like this, because I like to sort of dissect what works, what doesn't. And even though I'm someone who identifies as sort of a center-right guy, and I am very fiscally conservative, I can be reasonable and rational along the lines of many social issues. But in the 30th district, I'm looking at the makeup here, and I'm looking at these towns, and it seems that these are municipalities, and we'll get to the impact of COVID, obviously, on these towns in a moment. But even before the pandemic, it seems that, you know, this is a part of the state that tends to be, you know, somewhat conservative. I mean, there aren't a lot of conservative pockets in New Jersey, but I would argue probably that the 30th is perhaps one of the more conservative parts of the Garden State. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair. I think that it is also a district that has about 160,000 people who can vote, with the last time there was a state Senate election, there was only about 50,000 total people who voted, especially with such a huge independent population. So while it's leaned conservative, I don't necessarily believe that just because the elections have went that way, that our district is so conservative. I think that people are concerned about taking care of our towns. So I mean, what you had said before, you said before you don't like your teammates, but you kind of come together and work towards a common goal. I mean, that's what we're looking to do. I feel like so many people are not even willing to have a conversation like the one that you and I are having right now at all. A lot of people are very much not willing to really kind of get into the nitty gritty of what, you know, just what people want in their district versus whatever they might think is the right thing. And the best thing about our democracy and our government is that everybody deserves a say. That's kind of how I look at it. But, you know, in a million word response to your question of if that's fair to say. So.
Well, the reason I asked that is because, and listen, I'll be interviewing state senate candidates and assembly candidates for the next few weeks, if not months, here on the show. And this is a reality, though, Dan. And let's be frank here. I mean, right now we're looking at the makeup of the legislature, and you know, Democrats have big majorities in both. In the state senate, currently it's 25-15 Democrats. And in the assembly, it's 52-28. I mean, these are big majorities the Democrats have. And, you know, I take issue a lot, I think, because it seems like there's an element of the Democratic Party that's moving very left, I hate to use the word progressive, because a lot of the things they're proposing in Trenton are regressive, I would argue, economically and other things. But the bottom line is that, you know, you and your running mates are running as Democrats. And right now, Democrats, sure. Again, for all intents and purposes, Democrats have had their way in the legislature for almost 20 years. That's the majority for almost 20 years. And Democrats have been able to ram through, let's be honest, whatever they want in recent budgets,
sure,
in legislation. And I think a big concern, and I don't say this because it's your district, I'm just saying this in general, what would you want to say to a voter who's on the fence and maybe he's just concerned that, well, you know, Democrats already run the state, you know, they occupy the governor's office. They've been running the legislature for 20 years now. The state's more expensive because of bad policy. And I get a lot of grief on this show from people, you know, whatever, haters or whoever, that want to say, well, Fernando, you're never punitive, or you never come down on Republicans or conservatives in New Jersey. Why is that? And my answer is always consistent. Well, conservatives and Republicans aren't running the state. They're not the ones writing the budget. They're not the ones controlling spending and taxes. So, you know, until they have a say in that, they're in the minority. That's where they're going to stay. You know, I'm not saying you. I mean this generically. You know, Democrats are the ones that kind of – they're in the crosshairs. They're the ones that have to be held accountable. So if you're running as a Dem along with your running mates, there might be a concern like, well, you know, should you get elected, you know, again, should you win the primary June 8th and then get elected in November, you know, it's just padding the Democratic majority more, and maybe it's, you know, you're sort of sitting on more bad policy. You know, is that something you want to sort of like dissuade people about?
Yeah, that's a very fair, it's a very fair concern. I mean, when you look at it in a big, kind of like from far back, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, that's what history kind of says. And I don't want to speak for my running mates, but I think that we all kind of understand that we want to be voices to enter. We're outsiders, right? I mean, none of us have held public office before. We are all, you know, relatively, you know, we're young. You know, I'm 31 years old, which I only say only because the minimum age to be in the state senate is 30. And I'm saying all this because we don't have interest in just kind of going along with everything that the party says. We're very aware that we live in a district that not everybody is going to agree with all of those things. That's obvious. That is not a thing that we are naive to. So we want to kind of go there with a fresh perspective on our district in general and bring a perspective to the state party and say, look, first of all, we've been running this one way for so long. Why don't we try to switch it up a little bit? Why don't we try to work with our colleagues across the aisle? Why don't we try to listen to our constituents, which is something that doesn't seem to always happen on both sides of the aisle. So it's really just a matter of just going in there with a fresh perspective and not we're not bogged down yet, at least, by all of the partisan nonsense that goes on. I'm not naive to the fact that that is something that is going to have an effect on our overall, you know, what our agenda is and what we want to accomplish. But I think that we are people who are willing to sit down, have a conversation, listen to what folks are, you know, what folks need. I mean, at the end of the day, there, especially when it comes to local and state politics, there's a lot of things that we can agree on that we need, right? I mean, there's, everybody needs good roads. We want good schools. The disagreement is how we're going to get there. And I can't stress this enough that if people aren't willing to take a step back and understand that, okay, we're all people that live in this world and we all have a right to have an opinion about what's happening in our world. I disagree strongly with a lot of people about a lot of different things, but I'm never going to disrespect them by saying, hey, look, you don't have the right to that opinion. You do. This is America. This is a democracy. That's how it works. So we're trying to look at it from that perspective and help people that way. So,
well, okay. Well, let's get to exactly, you mentioned, you know, you and your ticket are outsiders. You've never held elected office. You'll be going in sort of fresh, obviously, for your constituents' sake, obviously with new ideas. But looking at the district here, I mean, what are you hearing from people that you're talking to? I mean, again, whether you're going door-to-door, having fundraisers, whatever, what are you hearing right now are the most pressing? I mean, obviously, we know COVID, the impact COVID's had on
sure.
the region. But aside
yeah.
from COVID, again, and we'll get to COVID in a minute because it's sort of like the elephant in the room, but I want to address other things. What
yeah.
other issues are you hearing from people in the 30th that maybe are going disregarded or are not being talked about locally?
Sure. I mean, overdevelopment is a big thing here, and we have a lot more open space than people fully realize. You know, we're actually a very rural area with Howell and Farmingdale and Wall Township, and we have a lot of different areas like that that there's a lot of debate on to whether or not to develop on those areas or to – they're just sitting there. They're not doing anything. So I've been hearing a lot about that, you know, people that are for it, people that are against it, trying to listen to, you know, to both sides of that argument. Also, I mean – the biggest thing right now is just jobs. Everybody, and I hate to, I know you said we're going to talk about COVID in a minute, but it's kind of, like you said, it's the elephant's too big. I mean, when it comes to the app, we are a district that's made up primarily of small businesses, and a big portion of that are restaurants. You know, my stepfather is a chef. My mom, you know, is a waitress or was a waitress for many, many years, and I was raised on this. And you know, ever since this happened and my parents have been really struggling because my stepdad got laid off and my mom didn't have a job for a while and they had to commute really far away. It's just all these different things having to do with jobs and businesses shutting down. So we need to really focus on that because I think that is a big thing that people want. People want to work. They don't, it's people don't want to just be sitting around, especially not anymore after the year that everybody just had.
Well, Dan, then it sort of begs the question because, again, as you mentioned, obviously in that part of the state, we know small businesses. We know, obviously, because they're all shore towns, that there's a lot of nightlife, hospitality, restaurants, as you mentioned, that make up that region. I mean, obviously, you know, aside from going
sure.
to Bar A, for example, I love going to Belmar. There's great restaurants in Bradley Beach, Manasquan, Lake Como, Seeger, I mean, Spring Lake. I mean, these are all great Jersey Shore towns.
Yeah.
And they've been really crippled by the pandemic. But, you know, sort of the difficult thing to sort of balance here is that, you know, you're running for a state Senate seat, again, on the Democratic ticket. But at the top of the ticket, though, Dan, the problem is that there are, I'm sure, people in the 30th or in parts of the Jersey Shore that look at the top of the ticket and have their reservations about Governor Murphy. I mean, we're over a year into this pandemic. And I think that, listen, I mean, the governor has a lot of favorables. He has some unfavorables, too. I think he's polling. I think the first – I'm not a big fan of polls, per se, but I think he's still polling pretty high. The bottom line is, you know, history's not on his side because we haven't seen a Democrat repeat as governor since Brendan Byrne. That's a long time ago. Okay, that's a long time ago. That's before our time. Okay. Bottom line.
Yeah,
is,
for sure.
But the bottom line is that Governor Murphy, at this time last year, was getting some accolades for the way we handled the pandemic. But in the last 8 or 9 months, there are pockets of New Jersey that are adamantly furious with him. And I would argue your district and those areas along the shore are really pissed off at the governor. You know, what can you say to business owners that are going to say, well, you're running as a Democrat. Well, what do you think about Murphy? I'm sure that question is going to come up. And if so, what's the best way for you to answer that?
Yeah. I mean, as far as the governor is concerned, we're not going to agree on everything. I think that the time for people to just blindly follow whoever's, at the top of the ticket is over. I mean, we need to come together and have a discussion on what's working and what isn't working. I mean, one thing that I will say that I'm not in full agreement with the governor is the closing of the restaurants. I mean, the rules that are kind of in place. I mean, when you walk into a restaurant right now compared to when you walk into the grocery store even, or just any other, I mean, today I went and got my oil changes and, you know, there's people sitting around and it's fine, but there's people kind of getting close and doing whatever. It's just strange to me because it doesn't seem like the same rules apply in different places, which it just doesn't really, that to me is very strange. Now, I do like some other things that he has done, but you know, like I said, we're just not always going to agree on everything, and we are willing. My ticket is willing to take the governor to task on that, those kinds of things. I mean, we, again, if we just kind of listen to what everybody says, who wants that? Who wants a government where every single person agrees with everyone? I mean, it's just that
sure.
never works, and we know just from, I mean, just the shape of our country right now, like I said, and just nobody's willing to have any type of discussion at all. Everybody says, this is how I feel about this thing. And it's everything's so based on feeling, but no, let's sit down. Let's get into a room. Let's get some experts. Let's talk through it and see if there are actual agreements before just kind of dismissing it. So that's kind of what I would say to that. I mean, nobody should blindly follow whoever's at the top. So.
All right, fair enough. Now, for our audience and folks, if you just joined us live here on insiderng.com/podcast, joining me here this evening exclusively is State Senate candidate in the 30th Legislative District, Daniel Stinger, here on Politically Direct. Again, if you wish to call in and be on the program, folks, I'll take some calls later in the show, 818-572-8032. Again, our toll-free number brought to you by Insider NG. I do want to get to as much as I can with our guest tonight before I take some calls later in the show. Dan, looking at the demographic information here, I mean, obviously the census information hasn't been finalized yet, but in terms of recent numbers or what's been reported as of last year in February, the district has a little over, it has nearly 153,000 registered voters. And of that, 66,000 are registered as unaffiliated, people like myself. Then you have 53,000 884 that are Republicans, and then 30,000 that are registered as Democrats. And, the 30th and some of these short districts are very different than the statewide numbers, because statewide Democrats outnumber registered Republicans by more than, I think the number I saw was like almost 2 million more registered Democrats than Republicans. So that's a big number that Republicans statewide
sure.
have to battle. But in the 30th and in nearby other districts, that's not the case. Republicans actually have a healthier registration numbers, as opposed to other districts in New Jersey. Does that look like a challenge, though? Because I'm looking at, again, and I'm looking at recent results in the 30th, I think, in recent years. Obviously, we're talking about, you mentioned the incumbent, and we're looking at, getting, 60% of the vote the last three cycles he's been up. And, there's sort of a disparity there because, again, along maybe party lines and everything. How daunting of a challenge is this going to be, do you feel, for you and your ticket, knowing that these numbers exist where, in other parts of the state, Democrats don't face this disadvantage, but in the 30th, that seems to be the reality.
Sure. I would not. I would definitely not use the word daunting.
Okay.
I would.
Okay.
I think that we're excited. It's just really we've just been really excited since we all kind of announced, because the response that we've been getting, we've just been knocking on doors. And when I say we've been knocking on doors, we literally have just been knocking on people's doors. We're not going off any lists necessarily all the time. We are just trying to get in touch with people, anyone who's willing to listen. And when it comes down to it, you know, so you'd said 66,000 unaffiliated, 53,000 Republicans, 30,000 Democrats. You know, I see the highest number in there that is unaccounted for. So in a year when, you know, we are in such a unique moment in our history of our country, where a lot of people are just kind of fed up with the same old, you know, rigmarole in wherever they're at, and they're sick of just not being represented in the first place. So, I mean, I don't see it as a daunting task. I see it as an opportunity to just kind of get in front of more people. And what it comes down to is, I mean, we just have to galvanize the unaffiliated voters. We just really need to get them out in large numbers and also just kind of explain to them, look, we are willing to listen. We are willing to compromise. We are willing to reach across the aisle. We are willing to invite those across the aisle to work with us. It's just how it's going to be. So, you know, we're trying to do this together. And I think just because somebody has an R or a D next to their name, you know, it doesn't make them incapable of doing that. You know what I mean?
No, listen, fair enough. And I think that's a really healthy attitude. And I applaud that, because I think when you're running for any elected office, you have to have that very healthy and clear perspective. Dan, let me ask you this, because again, the most pressing issues in New Jersey continue to be property taxes. They're the highest in the country. There was a report that came out, I believe, in the Star Ledger, and I don't like to read the Star Ledger too often. It's not the most trustworthy.
I listened to your most recent episode, and I heard lots of talking about the Star Ledger. So yeah.
Oh well, yeah. I'm not a big fan of Tom Moran for obvious reasons, but they were reporting some stats that the average property tax bill in New Jersey did go up now. From $8,953 to now $9,112. So again, that's the average property tax bill in the Garden State. Property taxes, we still seem to believe that Trenton thinks that maybe another gas tax is on the horizon, which is crazy. We're still seeing that spending is out of control in Trenton. And again, Dan, you know, I'm not trying to be malicious here. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but at the end of the day, you know, it's one party that's been governing for 20 years in the legislature. It's been one party that has been putting forward, I would argue, irresponsible budgets and just spending like it seems like, you know, and it's alarming because, you know, there are some people in Trenton that, I mean, you could tell they don't have economics degrees because they're oblivious, or they think that we print money in Trenton. I mean, maybe they're mistaken. I don't know. Maybe they've been watching the MCU, and they're thinking the Kingpin works in Trenton, you know. But the bottom line is that there's just this black cloud over Trenton, because these are the two issues I think that are foremost on the minds of New Jerseyans. And again, in your district, I'm sure it's no different. Properties along near the beach are expensive. I mean, I live in Hudson County. I can walk three blocks. I can look at Manhattan every single day. So obviously I know what I'm spending because of, you know, where I'm living at. And that's just inevitable. Same thing if you live near Philadelphia. And if you live along the shoreline, guess what? Properties are going to be expensive. What can you tell our listeners today, and maybe future constituents of yours, should you win, about trying to help rein in spending and also trying to maybe keep property taxes or push for property tax relief? What can you share with our audience tonight, sir?
Yeah, this is something that's really close to me. You know, if it's one party in the legislature that are making or not making all these decisions, I think it's probably time to add a couple people within the party that are willing to have some of those opinions. I cannot stand how higher property taxes are. And this has been an issue for me since ever since I could really remember, mostly because it's a huge reason why when all the housing stuff was happening in 2008, I have my family, my stepdad and my mom had to move because we just couldn't afford it. And a big part of that was because the property tax bill was almost just as much as the mortgage, which doesn't make any sense at all. So they moved to Pennsylvania for a while. After a little while being there, they were able to figure some stuff out and they were able to come back, but that had nothing to do with anything other than their own hard work. So when it comes to the property tax issue, we need more voices in the state legislature, Republican, Democrat, anyone who's willing to say it, that this is completely unacceptable. How long that this has been an issue. It's something that we talk about year after year after year, and nobody's done anything about it. And I'm totally sick of it. This is one of the main things that this is one of the main issues that has been on my mind for over a decade. And as all I can say about that is that I will be a voice to advocate for different ideas to lower these ridiculous taxes, whether that be through, just spending our money a little smarter, allocating money from other areas. I mean, let's look at things like this new amazing crop that we're about to have, marijuana, that we're going to make lots of money off of. Why can't we, figure out a way to spend that money in a responsible way to produce more money to actually help our towns and help our people. So I'm sickened by it. I think just like every other New Jersey is sickened by it. And the idea that nobody's done anything about it already is totally asinine. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're running. So,
well, listen, all fair points for sure. Let me ask you this, because I know in that area, infrastructure still remains a concern. Very much like where I live up here in North Jersey in Hudson County, we're always concerned about our bridges and roads. I'm sure it's no different, Dan, down by you in the 30th Legislative District. And as someone who does real estate, and, obviously when you're showing homes and you're talking to potential buyers, getting in and out of these towns sometimes can be treacherous. This is infrastructure that we look at and say, it seems like it's been ignored or disregarded for quite some time. Is that an issue you want to be able to run on? And if so, is that something you want to take the incumbents to task on? Because it seems like people I talk to off the air, whether it's in your district or, again, nearby shore towns, infrastructure is something that really, really worries residents.
Yeah, I think it's definitely lacking here. As far as, roads are concerned, that's definitely something that needs to be looked at. I mean, that's something that always needs to be looked at. But I also think that we need to kind of figure out how to modernize our infrastructure a little bit. I mean, we need to modernize a lot of things in New Jersey to be good with, but our infrastructure is everybody just thinks that it's just the roads and no, I mean, that's not what I'm thinking at all. I'm thinking of different things like green infrastructure, incorporating things like, using the land that we have, a lot of the open land that we have for things like solar fields using the, just east to us is the ocean. We could use, wind power, offshore wind to help with that kind of stuff. So I think that when it comes down to it, it's just a matter of listening to the community and specifically finding out what the things that they're really concerned about within each town. I mean, every town kind of, what I've been finding, and like I said, this is the first time I'm running for office, so as I get to know a lot of the towns and a lot of the people in some of the towns that maybe I haven't spent as much time in the past, a lot of that, a lot of towns have different concerns, so it really depends on where specifically you're talking about. I think that, there's a lot of sides to that issue.
Well, Dan, when you talk about, for example, wind projects and the possibility of that, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, and again, going back on policy, I'm always concerned when I hear about green projects or even today, I mean, this is not a national news show per se, But when you're hearing on the national stage that Democrats are trying to reintroduce the Green New Deal, and you know, again, when you go through it with a comb and you start to dissect it, there's a lot of waste in there that worries us. And you know, when we hear language like this about green energy or wind, is that something that, at the end of the day, is that really conducive and beneficial to residents in the 30th legislative district? I mean, because I'm sure maybe some will ask you, and some might really stick to their guns in the sense of like, well, you know, we're obviously petroleum and gas seems to be what we've been able to live on, and obviously that's becoming a little more expensive. But are green projects or the pursuit of that, is that something that people you're hearing in your district are really, really interested in?
I think that once it's understood how it can help our district specifically, yeah, I feel like a lot of people are on board, and I'll tell you why, because it just affects so many different things. I mean, with modernizing our infrastructure to incorporate a lot more green technology, that a lot of things will be created around that. A lot of jobs will be created around that, because there's not going to be just, you know, the people setting up the solar panels. There's going to be electricians that need to be involved. There's going to need to be all types of trades that need to be involved. And that's, you know, another big part of our platform too, is just kind of incorporating more of a vocational training into our education system. But I mean, that's kind of how I would frame that. I mean, the things that it's hard for people to kind of look at it broadly and see like, oh, they just hear green and they just think, you know, solar panels and how is that even helping me? I don't really care about that. But I think once you get into, you know, the type of jobs that it can create, the type of economic opportunities that it can create, the type of, you know, that will also influence stuff within education, like I was saying, because it will encourage a lot more people to get into vocational programs. I can't stress that enough, because, you know, I'm a young person with student debt, and had I, you know, been educated more as a younger man, I think that I might have made some different choices. Not to say that I didn't really enjoy my learning in my college experience, but pretty much how I feel about that.
Okay,
go too far off tangent there.
No, I understand. Now, again, you know, Dan, the challenge for anyone running for office is looking at how to best sort of approach their specific campaign. And again, for our listeners that, listen, it's you know, all 120 seats are up for grabs. Okay, and as I remember, I spoke to your campaign manager off the air, and I've spoken to other campaign managers. You know, I mean no disrespect when I say this, but it's hard to keep up with every district, and who's the incumbent, who's the challenger. Right now, you're running for the Democratic primary in June 8th. Are there other declared Democratic candidates right now going for the state Senate seat that you're also pursuing?
No, not that we're aware of.
Okay.
Unless somebody's trying to jump in now all of a sudden, but no, yeah, we are. Right now, the main Democratic ticket, I guess you can say, that is running. We don't have any. We're running unopposed right now. So.
Okay. No, that's
in the primary, obviously.
No. And the reason I have to ask is because again, there's 40 legislative districts. You know, it's hard to keep up with everything.
Sure.
When it comes to figuring out candidates.
I mean, you're up in Hudson County too. I can only.
Yeah. It's a totally different world up here. But no, but let me ask you this though too, because it seems that, as I mentioned before, there are pockets, like, just case in point, you know, where I live up here in Hudson County, you know, we have the 31st, the 32nd, the 33rd legislative district, and for all intents and purposes, I mean, these are solidly blue county districts. All three state senators are safe Democrats. You know, they might have some progressive challengers running up here, you know, kind of like the AOC type Democrats, you know, or that are running under the banner of like Progressive Democrats of New Jersey or those coalitions. So up here, you know, again, it's pretty solidly blue. You know, is it sort of a misnomer on my part to say that the 30th has for a while been a solidly red district, or has that been changing over time where maybe it's purple and we don't know it?
That is a really good question. I think as more and more young people get a voting age, I think that it is becoming more and more purple. I think that especially in our district, people who are – a lot of my friends, I mean, a lot of friends that I grew up with, they can't – you know, they've had to move, or they've had to – or a lot of them are coming back now because they can finally afford to live in our district. So I think that that's kind of how I would say that. I mean, as far as young people kind of becoming a voting age. Also, I do think that, like I was saying before, a lot of the unaffiliated voters in our district, they are not really concerned about, you know, right or left or red or blue or whatever. They're concerned about how they are, you know, how they are going to work, how they're going to feed their families, how they're going to pay their mortgage, how they're going to do all those things to make a successful life for themselves. And I think what that is all about is just picking the right person. And as far as, you know, our opponents right now, I mean, I'm sure they're very fine people. I don't know them, but I think that, again, the absence has just been, I don't understand it. I think that what I want to try to do is work with, you know, I'm an ordinary person. I want to work with ordinary people. Those are the people that are really in the trenches and living life and struggling each day. And I want to help those people. So that's, yeah.
Well, Dan, when we think about, again, the incumbents, and we think about their time in the legislature, I mean, I think, you know, the optics are that perhaps they've been there for quite some time. I mean, certainly the incumbent is getting up there in age. I mean, I'm not trying to be offensive or mean-spirited or have anyone accuse me of being an ageist. But some might argue that, well, you know, he's been in government for quite some time, and he's certainly getting up there in age. I'm not saying that you're making this assertion or you're making this claim or your campaign is, but is there perhaps the optics of there's a generational disconnect here with the incumbents and his assembly running mates, where perhaps maybe they're just not up to date on what's going on in the district? Is that fair to say on your part, or is that something you want to stay away from in terms of the way you want to portray the incumbents?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the latter, what you said before, that they're just out of touch with what's happening in our district. It has nothing to do with age necessarily. Really what it comes down to is they, and especially my opponent specifically, has been in office since I was 3 years old. I'm a firm believer in term limits. You know, at some point, at all levels of government, I don't think that I don't think that somebody who holds office for that long can fully be in touch with their district, because they are no longer an average person. I think that the way that our government was set up to begin with was so that ordinary citizens can have the most say in what occurs. And after a certain point, when you serve the same role for so long safely, and you're phoning it in every day because, you know, you've given up. And that's the thing. I feel like so many people in our districts have just given up on both sides. Either it's, you know, folks on the other side of the fence from us that are just like, well, we're just going to introduce bills that aren't actually going to go anywhere because we're not going to win anyway. Or it's people on the other side of it that are just like, well, you know, the government's going to do whatever they want. You know, we're a really super conservative district, so we're not even going to try. I just think that all of that level of thinking, I think any level of thinking like that needs to just be tossed aside. We live in a completely different world now, and a lot of that has to do with the pandemic that's just occurred. All of that stuff is completely out the window. I think that people want to find a way to navigate out of this pandemic. They want people that are going to tell them, hey, I am representing you. I'm looking out for you. What do you want? How often do any of us get asked that question by any legislator after they get into office? It's so unbelievably infrequent. I plan on doing that constantly because I am the I'm never going to be the person to say I'm the smartest person in this room. I think that anyone who does that is not capable of being a leader. And it's really what it comes down to is you need to listen to your constituents. You need to listen to subject matter experts. You need to work with people who think differently than you. And that's how you're going to get stuff done. And just back to the original question, like, it has nothing to do with that. I just think that it's absence versus people that, you know, we're going to be in our constituent spaces, whether they like it or not.
Okay. No, understood. Dan, before I let you go again, you've been a gentleman to come on with me tonight. I know obviously you've had a busy day, and obviously I don't want to take you away from your parenting time, which is important.
I got a 7-month-old, so I'm looking at her on the baby monitor right now.
congratulations to you and your wife. Congratulations. Let me just ask you this, because, again, I mentioned the demographics voting-wise in the district, and does it seem like the people that – I mean, again, as you mentioned, you know, obviously the goal is to win over the hearts and minds of as many unaffiliated as possible. I mean, that's just a logical math to do. But in terms of registered Democrats that you've talked to and Democrats that you've either met at fundraisers or when you've gone door to door, what type of Democrats are you coming across in that area? Is it more so like the center kind of moderate Democrats? Because I find it hard to believe that, you know, maybe up here by me in Hudson County, I mean, there's a big coalition of like the progressive Democrats, like these, you know, as I like to call them up here, and I almost want to pen the terms, the social justice clowns and the woke fools and the compassion mongers. I use that all the time. Seeing like that's, I would argue, or probably I'll take an educated guess, that doesn't seem to be too prevalent down in the 30th, where maybe the Democrats and those who register or identify as Democrats are probably just like moderate, middle-of-the-road type people who identify as Democrats, per se, and not like the, you know, the progressive or liberal woke clowns up here that I have to endure and call into my show or put hate on my social media. Is that the type of Democrat that seems to be more prevalent in the 30th?
As far as just moderate versus, you know, farther on the left, I would say maybe yes, but at the same time, I know a lot of people who are, you know, more on the AOC side of things, as you referred to it before. And I think the difference in our district in particular is it is a lot less of a fight. I mean, I've been, you know, we just hosted an event this past weekend at my home, actually, and there are lots of super progressive Democrats there. There are lots of super moderate Democrats there. And the thing that I see here that I don't really see, you know, in the media or up in other counties and that type of thing is unity. I mean, I've had such fantastic conversations with all types of people. I mean, Republicans, Democrats, far left Democrats, you know, a couple far right Republicans that, you know, happen to be old friends of mine that, you know, we yell at each other, but at the end of the day, we love each other, that kind of thing. But I mean, I think that there's people on all sides of the fence here. I think that they are less inclined to start fights on that side of the fence just because, you know, one might think a little bit differently than the other. I think people are a little bit more willing to kind of work with each other, especially in the party, which is in their parties, which is especially why I believe that we're going to be really good at working together with a lot of the unaffiliated and everybody as a whole. So, I mean, that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to unify this district. So it hasn't been done in a long time.
Well, you know, Dan, I mean, obviously, listen, all I can say to our audience tonight is, listen, you come across as a really sensible guy, you know, a guy who's really rational and, you know, again, and civil. And in today's political climate that's become so tribal, it's refreshing to be able to have these conversations and to be able to dissect policy. So before I let you go, I mean, what I like to try to do with my guests, depending on time, but, you know, I've been the one asking questions because that's what I do, and I think I do it well. But now, young man, I give you the floor. You got a question for me? You want to pick my brain, or I'll give you the last word here on the show. What do you got for me today, sir?
I guess what I would ask, just when you think about your experience running for office a decade ago compared to now, if you were to run for office again, how different do you think it would be?
Well, I mean, again, you know, when I ran 10 years ago, I ran
and how similar?
Moderate. Oh, well, I mean, again, I mean, when I ran 10 years ago, I ran a very grassroots campaign. I was, and I'm still a moderate per se, but at the time I was running as a very moderate Republican. And, you know, I was getting endorsements from some kind of like groups that, you know, you normally wouldn't think a Republican would get. I mean, a case in point, I remember running, again, as a Republican up here in the 33rd Legislative District for an assembly seat. And the New Jersey chapter of NAHL, the National Organization for Women, actually endorsed me for my assembly candidacy, which was crazy because they had not endorsed a Republican in almost 50 years. So I've always made a point to be a very reasonable, middle-of-the-road guy. And I get it that because of my brand, you know, it's easier for me to be conservative. And I don't think I'm a gaslighter. I don't think I'm hyperbolic. I think I'm reasonable and rational. I think it's why I thankfully have a following. But I don't think I would have done anything differently. I mean, again, I ran a very respectable grassroots campaign in a very, very blue area. And I was proud. You know, I think my vote total and my numbers in November of that year in 2011, I think we're still pretty high for a Republican up here in Hudson County, which was unheard of. But again, yeah. I ran as a favor. I ran as a request, but I knew that elected office wasn't something I really wanted to pursue. I was more of, you know, I was a guy that forever, since I was a kid, I loved listening to talk radio, sports talk radio specifically, because I love sports. I'm a fanatic, but I listened to a lot of political talk radio, and I figured, you know what, I'd like to do this. I'd like to jump into this medium and contribute. I think I've been doing that. So, you know, my advice to anybody, again, 10 years later, you know, you learn about things is, if you can run a campaign that's grassroots, reach people. I mean, obviously now social media certainly has a much more extensive reach than it did 10 years. We had, you know, Facebook.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Instagram was, I think, in its infancy. Twitter was only 2 years old. So it's nowhere near the monsters that it is today. So, again, I would just argue that I wouldn't do anything differently other than, I don't know, maybe try to milk more donations, but that's just part of the fundraising thing, I think, overall.
Yeah.
But,
that's every campaign. I feel like anyone would say that. Oh, yeah, I wish I raised more money.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But Dan, listen, I want to thank you for your time. I certainly enjoyed our conversation. I think I'm not saying this is sort of overkill, but listen, I think these are – I think we had a great conversation. I think all these questions were fair, and as I tell my audience all the time, I'm fair with every guest. I might not agree with everything my guests say, whether they're conservatives or liberals or Republicans or Democrats. But what I want to do, and what this podcast does better than anybody in the state, is have conversations with people. And I think we do that every week here with Insider NJ. And I want to thank you for your time. I certainly want to wish you luck coming up on June 8th. And, excuse me, you know, certainly want to wish you luck the rest of the campaign trail.
Thank you so much, Fernando. I really appreciate you having me on. And, you know, I host a music podcast.
and this is
really hard work. So I really respect what you do.
So thank you so much for
everything.
Well, thank you. Well, that's very kind of. Well, I host two podcasts a week and I do two studio shows a week. So
that's insane. if like anyone who understands how much work that takes is like, that's mind blowing. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Dan. And again, listen, just do me a favor. Tell everyone you know how much you're a fan of Politically Direct with Fernando Uribe. And we'll talk to you again soon here on the show.
Hope so. Thanks a lot, Fernando. Have a good one.
No, you're welcome. Good luck and best of luck. And again, congratulations, man. All right, folks.
Thanks again.
9:55 here on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. A great interview tonight with State Senate candidate Daniel Stinger out of the 30th Legislative District. And again, folks, listen, you know, what can you say, ladies and gentlemen, about what it takes to run for office? You know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, progressive, leftist, right-winger, whatever. I think it's a testament that people want to get involved, folks, in politics. And it's such a polarizing political time that we live in, where, again, it's just – I think we're living in this era of tribalism, really, I think, on both sides of the political aisle. You know, it's refreshing to see that people want to get involved in politics at the local level and at the state level, right? So whether you're running as a Republican or a Democrat, regardless, I think it's – you know, again, I think it's – it's refreshing to hear that people, especially that have not been involved in politics, right? People that are maybe coming from the private sector, people that are coming from the business world, right? Case in point here with Mr. Singer, you know, obviously in real estate, right? It's refreshing to hear that people want to get involved because politics is so polarizing. It turns so many people off. It's really interesting to see men and women wanting to get involved again in New Jersey, where, you know, we know the political climate again is so at times so toxic, and we know sometimes how annoyed, it's crazy. You know, it really, really is crazy. And it's something that to me, it's refreshing again to hear people want to get involved. And it's something that, you know, that's part of the reason I love doing this podcast. And I've been, you know, obviously 3 years and counting now here on insidernj.com/podcast. And, you know, we get to talk to guests and people running for office, people already in office. Right, or fellow journalists, or activists. You know, again, it makes my job easier when we can have a conversation and talk about issues. And because I'm a policy nerd, like I can talk policy all day, and that's just what I love doing. I know it sounds boring. I know it sounds laborious and monotonous, but folks, it's the bread and butter of governing, right? It's dissecting policy. And again, it's great that when I'm able to talk to someone, again, whether they're already an elected office or running for office, I think it's always refreshing to hear that here on the podcast. Well, folks, again, that's our show for this week here. Again, we appreciate you tuning in here via www.insidernj.com/podcast. If you're just tuning in live right now, folks, don't sweat. It's 10 o'clock here on the East Coast. The episode will be uploaded again in its entirety, and you'll be able to listen to it and download it. You know, obviously, listen to it from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. And you can do so once again by going to www.insidernj.com/podcast. Again, that's plural, podcast with an S at the end. And, you know, certainly, you know, tune into the recent episodes. And it's, again, folks, I will argue it's the best weekly political podcast in the state of New Jersey. And it's been doing so since January of 2018 when I started my partnership with, again, with Insider NJ. Now, again, if you have any suggestions or for topics or guests coming up, or you want to tell me what you thought about the show tonight or last week's show with Insider NJ columnist Alan Steinberg or previous guests, write to the show, folks, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. I promise you I'll answer your emails promptly. Okay. So write to the show again, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Now don't forget to follow the show on Instagram @politicallydirectnj. I do have to update the page a little bit, folks. I know I'm running a little bit behind on the Instagram page for Politically Direct. Obviously, all episodes are uploaded on the website I just mentioned. Again, www.insidernj.com/podcast. But I certainly want to upload all the promo photos for all the guests in recent weeks. So, again, please be patient. I'll update the page soon enough, and you'll see everyone that I've had. It's been a really, really impressive lineup, folks, for many, many months now. So, you definitely want to check that out. Again, check out my own Instagram, @ProfessorFernandoUribe. I'm just going to give you a warning. There's plenty of funny political memes. Again, my Instagram stories entail sports, politics, motivational stuff, rants of mine about today's political topics or anything. Everything else, folks. Pro wrestling, everything's there. So definitely check it out there on my stories. Tons of new followers lately, plenty of likes as always, so definitely check it out again on Instagram, @ProfessorFernandoUribe. The same goes for me on Twitter, folks, @NoFilterUribe, @NoFilterURIBE. And once again, plenty of new followers, tons of likes. And, you know, yeah, folks, I don't apologize for being a center-right guy. I can be rational and reasonable on some social issues, of course. But you'll know where I'm coming from when you check out my Twitter and my Instagram. And again, folks, you know, it's a brand. It's what I've been good at. It's what I'm going to continue being good at. And I hope that you'll want to jump on board and show your support as well. Folks, also don't forget to like Politically Direct with Fernando Uribe on Facebook. 1,000 plus likes and counting. It's great to be out of Facebook jail, you know, 30 days in. It seems like it was flying by, actually. So I'm glad to be back on Facebook, hopefully. I don't know. Hopefully I don't violate any of the community standard. I don't know if we're breathing, maybe. Who knows? In any event, folks, check me out on Facebook when you can. And of course, you know, check out Insider Rand J, the perennial source for journalism and the best news site for politics in the state of New Jersey, folks. Nobody does better than Insider Rand J. Again, go to the website, www.insiderrandj.com/podcast. That's the show, excuse me. But the main page, www.insiderrandj.com. You'll see the upper right-hand corner, the subscribe button. Do me a favor. Click on that, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. So when you're trying to start your day and you're on your phone, right, checking your inbox, guess what? Maybe you're watching the sports shows. I know I am. I'm watching First Things First on Fox Sports, usually Undisputed, again with Skip and Shannon, and then I'm watching The Herd. So I'm working from home. So when I'm doing that, I'm flipping through my inbox. And sure enough, when I do, I'll find the morning intelligence briefing right there waiting for me. Best columns, best source of journalism and news concerning politics in New Jersey, folks. Nobody does it better than Insider NJ. Again, www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to like Insider on Facebook. And, of course, follow Insider NJ also on Twitter. Remember, you start and end your day with Insider NJ. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's our show for this week. Again, I want to thank you all. I certainly want to thank tonight's guest, State Senate candidate in the 30th Legislative District, Daniel Stinger, for coming on the podcast tonight. I certainly appreciate his time. I'm sure, busy day. Obviously, he's a dad. He's campaigning, working real estate. So, you know, I'm sure he's tired, but I appreciate him joining here on the podcast. So, again, folks, I want to thank you all. And always remember, whether it's your morning commute, getting your daily workout, whatever, walking your dog, doing laundry, whatever, tune in. You'll be happy that you did. And always remember, it's real. It's here. It is politically direct. Good night, Bill Maher. One of my favorite towns down the Jersey Shore. Many great memories at Bar A during the Rutgers alumni mixtures and just crazy nights in Bar A. Headliner. It's a great party town, to say the least. So shout out to all my good people down in Bill Maher. Folks, again, please party responsibly this weekend. Stay safe. Those of you getting vaccinated, again, stay healthy. And again, folks, let's get through this. Let's get back to normalcy in 2021. So I'll see you next week here, ladies and gentlemen, on Block Talk Radio. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.
Love might bring us back together. I feel so good. I feel right. The music sounds better with you. Love.